The little folks illustrated the sermon very well. We want to talk about how we learn from the Word of God and how we grow. As I said earlier, we have been through a tremendous week of revival. A lot of work, but a lot of blessings, and saw a lot of things happen. And, you know, it's like a basketball team scoring a goal or a football team scoring a goal, and we're cheering around the goalpost. And while we're cheering, the enemy is going the other direction with the ball. So sometimes in our lives, we have great victories and tremendous success. And I've often said, I think we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. We have a tendency to relax. We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. We read the scripture this morning about Thomas, who was doubting Thomas, and Thomas had a problem. But I like to look behind the scenes and see why Thomas did doubt. First of all, Thomas wasn't there at the first meeting. He missed the first meeting with the Lord. And so they're telling about it. He said, well, I don't believe it. I got to see it. He wasn't there. He would have saw it if he had been there. There's something about being in attendance. I used to tell my kids when I was teaching school, they'd say, well, what have I got to do to make a C? What have I got to do to make a B or whatever? I'd say the first thing you have to do is be in attendance and be here. Some of it will go in by osmosis. You know, you can't hip and skip and scotch and miss here and there in God's calling together His people at a learning session, a preaching session, and expect to learn anything and then come in and wonder what happened. As a matter of fact, I think there's a saying that 50% of the people don't know what happened, 20%, 5% wonder what did happen, and the other 25% make it happen. So I think that's still probably true. And we always have that group that's wondering what is going on and why didn't I know about this and those things. So the first thing we have to do, we have to be there. You find yourself regularly. I have people coming to me for counseling about their alcohol addiction, about their drug addiction, or about their marriage problems. And they say, do you do counseling? I say, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, get on the front row, bring your Bible, and I will guarantee you that God will speak to you and God will help you through His Word. God's Word is more important than my Word. But what we really want is approval of our sin, of our laziness, of our lack of being in attendance to God. There's another problem I find out about Thomas. If you go to John chapter 14, he simply had a doubting problem. Some people just don't want to believe. People were starting out before we had revival. Do you think anybody will come? Do you think anything will happen? I mean, you know, it just sometimes really gets you. We have this doubting problem. Notice in John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The hardest thing that we'll ever have to do is to believe that God can and God will do what He wants to do in our life if we're willing to believe and let Him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way we know. Now notice who says this. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, how can we know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas is a natural doubter. It was just part of his experience. And probably if he had believed the Lord being raised from the dead, he would have been at the first meeting. But he missed the first meeting. And so the more he goes along, he supports his doubting instead of his belief. You can either support your doubts or you can support your beliefs. You can stick yourself into your problems and say, God's not going to help me. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's ever going to get any better. I'm not going to do anything. Or you can say, starting today, I'm going to put my left foot in front of my right. I'm going to go where God's people are. I'm going to get taught. I'm going to learn. I'm going to set. I'm going to listen. I'm going to ask God to help me. And I'm going to believe that God will. Amen? There are basically three ways that we learn. We learn by seeing, by hearing, and by doing. They actually say that men learn more, not every single man, but most men learn more by seeing, and that most women learn more by hearing. And I think that's true, especially with women, because I see some lady come in with this scraggly-looking guy. He looks like something the cat's drug in. It was what he said in her ear that attracted her, not his looks. Couldn't have been, right? Then, of course, the man, if she's beautiful, he don't care about anything else as long as she looks okay. You know, that's some of the troubles start with marriages. He marries this gorgeous-looking woman, and then one day he comes home from work, and it's not the same woman, and he thinks, how did I wind up with this? You know, I don't see the same thing I saw. So we learn those ways. First of all, we learn by seeing. And that means reading and studying the Word of God. You will not be fulfilled. You will not be learning. You will not be led by the Lord if you do more than what you get right here. You have to read the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God. Studying means getting into the Word and letting the Word get inside of you. Those kids were letting the Word get into them. They're a prime example, and we will grow if we read and study the Word of God. We have booklets back there, devotionals for every day of the week. We have Sunday school literature that we pass out. We give out the sermon notes if you want them. We have notes for you to write on back there in the back of the pew if you want to. We do everything in our power that you might be able to learn. But if you expect to come and just sit once in a while when you feel like it, and all of your problems of the world, and you're sitting here looking at your watch and wondering when you're going to get out. For example, some of you probably play golf. And I'd say, when's the last time? Oh, last week. I'd say, how often do you practice your... Oh, I got a place in my house back down in the room where I practice my putting, and I practice this, and I practice that, and I practice my swing, and I look in the mirror, and I read the book. But then when it comes to being a Christian, we don't want any practice. We don't want to do anything. We want it to somehow just come upon us, and God just to throw this big blanket of the Holy Spirit upon us and make us what we're supposed to be while we run our life and do exactly what we want to do that is totally unspiritual or uncommitted to God in His house. That's where we want to stay. We just want God to give us, it's like we're sitting with our foot padding while the coffee pot is making the instant coffee. We got to have it instantaneously, the things that we have to have that comes from God. God doesn't work that way. He says, be still and know God. We have to get the Bible and get alone with the Bible and be still and let God speak to us while the other voices are being shut out. We can't have the radio blaring all the things or the television or all the other communication things. I see people running with these things in their ears. When I ran, I wanted to hear the birds. I wanted to enjoy the scenery. I wanted to see what was going on. I didn't want to bring that worldly stuff that I've been listening to into my head while I'm running. I'm straining enough from running a marathon anyway. I want to hear the voices of God and the seasons of God. And by the way, aren't we having one of the most beautiful springs that we've ever had? I never saw the redbuds, and now the dogwoods are out. My, what a gorgeous time to be alive and be on the earth and celebrate the resurrection and the Son of God. He's coming again. He's coming again. And it could be today before we leave. Praise God. But we learn by studying. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study and be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. God says there are some things that you must do for yourself. We complain about a welfare society, but I think we have a welfare spirituality. We want everything to be given to us and not have to work for anything. It takes work to take the Bible and a concordance. And some of you are like me. You probably have your Bible on your cell phone. But we still need to take a word that we don't understand. We need to take a thought that we don't understand and dig through a concordance and look at the root meaning of that word from the Greek or from the Hebrew and study that word and say, what does this mean? Now, how does that fit into this? And we study and we work our minds. Instead of having a lazy mind, just let somebody give it to us. Oh, it means this, it means that, and something else, and we go on our way. Studying. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. By the way, reading and studying are two different things, right? We have to internalize. We have to spiritually ingest mentally and emotionally and spiritually the Word of God. We have to get it into our life. We have to let it get into us and exercise us inside. That's studying, reading a verse. As a matter of fact, some of us will read a whole chapter and brag about how many chapters we've read. Sometimes we'd be better off to read one verse and really see what that verse says. And most of all, when we read a verse or study a passage, what we need to say is not so much what it said 2,000 years ago, but what does it say today, right now, to me? And not what does it say about my wife or my children or my boss or my worker, but what does it say about me? Let the Word of God pierce our heart. The Bible says it's like a sword that cuts, and it will if you'll let it. It'll go right in, said divining the bone like would you bone out a piece of meat. Get down to the real bone, the structure of things. That's what the Word of God will do within your heart and life if you will let it. But you have to be reading and studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Many people say, well, I never hear God calling. There are some people God's never going to call because you will not apply the Word of God to your life and learn from God and listen to God and let Him teach you to the place that you're usable to God. God's not going to use a leaky bucket. God's got to have a bucket that wants to be filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God and be used by God and used in a mighty way for God. And it takes time. And it takes that studying that we can be a workman. And notice, need not be ashamed. People come up to us and say, well, what does this mean? Or what does that mean? I don't know. Well, then, every time someone asks us a question about the Bible and we're a Christian, then we should get into that Word and find the answer to that. But if there is an answer to that, He said, be ready always to give an answer. And of course, you can't do any of this if you're not a child of God. The first thing that you have to believe is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and that you're a sinner, and that you're going to hell without Him, and if you don't accept Him as your Savior. And then these things will come more than that. Some people are trying to be a Christian without even being a Christian. We can all be actors. We can go to church. We can wear the look. We can carry our Bibles. We can do a lot of things. But if we're really not born again, it's just like pouring water on a rock. It just runs right off. There's nothing absorbing. There's no Christian life inside that's pulling and sucking that needed nutrients and vitamins of the Word of God into ourselves and making us the child of God that He wants us to be. And we're just going through the motions. And one day we'll hear Him say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And you'll say, yeah, but we said, Lord, Lord. He said, many will be there that day and say, oh, I said, Lord, Lord. It's not our actions. It's the action of God upon our heart when we exercise our faith in Him. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. And that last phrase, which I illustrated, rightly dividing the Word of God. That means really getting into the Word and letting it get into me. Then let that Word spread all through me. It's like taking that multivitamin. I don't know what all this means. It doesn't matter. I don't know what all is in that vitamin, but it's got a lot of things in it. Or the Prego sauce. I don't know. It's in there. Just take it. Some things you just take. But we want to say, well, what is it? What will it do to me? The Word of God will cause you to grow. The second way we learn is by hearing. And that's the preaching and the teaching. We live in a generation, we're in the Laodicean church age, when we don't want to be told anything, we don't want to be directed, we don't want to give direct yeses and noes, we don't want to be offended. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the rock of offense. It's offensive to our lifestyle. It's offensive to our way of thinking. He's offensive to the things that we want to do. When He says, separate yourself from things and people that do not help you in the Christian life. Separate from that. And we're saying, I don't want that. That's my life. We don't want the preaching. We don't want the hearing. We was listening to the lesson this morning when David committed adultery and murder. The first thing that happened is God sent a preacher and gave him an illustration. And He said, thou art the man. David confessed his sin. Most of us do not want to go, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to. I don't have to listen to the preacher. No, then you don't have to. And the folks in hell are screaming this morning, I didn't listen to the preacher. And sometimes the preacher may be your mom, may be the guy that works next to you, may be a friend or a neighbor. By the way, I keep thinking every time I set up the live streaming on that phone, what's it worth? There was a lady who showed up here during the revival that's not been to the church since I've been here, and she's my next door neighbor. And I was thanking her for coming. I said, though I feel a little bit offended that you didn't come when I was preaching, come with the event. She said, Pastor Hodge, every morning when you live stream, I'm sitting on my couch listening. And I said, well, praise God. Word of God. He says, God gave the word and greatly was the company that published it. We're supposed to publish the Word of God. That's all we are supposed to do. Get it out there. Get it out there. It's going to, like I used to shoot birds, and when I first started hunting mountain birds, I was just waiting for a spot between the trees to hit it. And I was hunting this guy. He said, you got to shoot. I said, but he said, shoot where he is. I said, he's behind a tree. He said, he's going to come out on one side or the other. Just shoot at the tree. And so I started doing that, and I started hitting some birds. You know, we need to make sure that we get our gun cocked and fire. Put the Word of God out there. It's going to hit something. Keep telling people about Jesus. Tell them the Word and study the Word and know the Word. But preaching and teaching. Then we have a thing called Sunday school, started by D.L. Moody a long time ago. People learned that we need to sit and interact and be taught one with another. And yes, it gets us out of bed earlier. Yes, it makes some commitments out of us. But we need to do it so we can hear the Word of God and hear what somebody else thinks about it and what we think about it and what God says about it and what some author says about it. And we, after a while, we begin to form opinions ourselves. The Holy Spirit will start working in your life and explain things to you. He says the Holy Spirit will teach things. Again, you have to be saved. You can't just get the Spirit of God. Paul says in Ephesians, we were dead in sin and trespasses, but He hath quickened us, meaning made us alive by the Spirit of God. Just like when God breathed into Adam, the first man, and made him a man of God. God will breathe into your life the breath of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why did Thomas doubt? Because he didn't have enough faith. And he wasn't there when the Word of God was preached. He missed the whole Sunday service. He missed the first service of the church. When Jesus came out of the tomb, he missed the first service. He couldn't say he was there. Isn't that something? And every time you miss church, somebody's going to tell you something happened. And you're going to think, man, I should have been there. God knows that. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some is. Oh, I had to sleep in. I worked hard. Oh, I had to go here. I had to take the kids on. The best place you can take your family, and when you get company, the best place thing you can do is say, we're going to church. Come go with us. And if you're not going with us, I feel sorry for you, but we're going. Do what God wants you to do. It's like you're saying to God, God, I love these people more than you. I'd rather be with these people than I'd be with you. Huh? You think God gets a little offended with that one? And He knew it'd be that. Why? That's why He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. He said, get there when the doors are open. Get to the house of God. So faith cometh by hearing. We have to hear the Word of God to increase our faith. He said, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we all have a muscle. But if we don't exercise it, it's not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, it'll get weaker. When you go in the hospital, the football players, big, strong people, they get in there for 4 or 5 days. They say it takes weeks to rehabilitate them back to their normal strength. The same thing is true spiritually. You miss that week of studying your Bible at home. You miss that week of church. And your spiritual body has weakened. And it needs to be rehabilitated with the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Amen? And then he says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Notice this phrase here in 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God didn't say anything else. Everything that we do in church should support the preaching of the Word of God. Good singing is important, but it's not the important thing. Good fellowship, good friendship, warm atmosphere in the church, all good, but that's not the most important. The most important thing is the preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And do you know what churches are doing today all across this country? Toning it down. 5-10 minute sermonettes. A lot of singing, a lot of hand clapping, but no serious preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's why we're weak in America, by the way. That's why America's going to hell in a handbasket. That's why we can't find our way around. That's why adultery's rampant. That's why murder's rampant. That's why drugs is eating us up. It's because we're not coming to the house of God, and the preaching of the Word of God is backdoor to everybody's life. We need to get the preaching going again. Amen? The preaching of the Word of God. Foolishness to men. Those that are not saved, they say, what good is it going there? You let God start boring into your heart with the Word of God. And first thing he's going to do is show you what he doesn't like. If you had said to a guy, I need some work done in my house, and you say, I want a roof on, they come and look, and they say, well, before we put a roof on, you got a wall over here that's caving in. We got to fix that because a good roof is not going to... And they'll say, well, and you know what else? You got basement blocks here that's not holding up right. We've got to get that. And you're thinking, my goodness, my house is falling apart. That's the way our lives are. And we think all we need is a quick dose of something. What we need is an overhauling by the Word of God, the power of God, that we might see what our needs are first. So we say, wait a minute, maybe I need a whole new house. Well, it might be better, I don't know. But we've got to have an overhaul with God and let God overhaul us. So we see the seeing and the hearing. And the third thing is the doing. It's not enough that you get into the house of God, not enough you read the Word of God, but you need to start doing what God wants you to do. The doing. Everybody is like the guy that's practicing his golf swing. His ultimate goal is to get out and play golf and win the golf championship or whatever he's doing. But he practices and practices. You've got to one day do it. You come to me and say you want to learn to swim. I take you in a classroom. We'll show you the video about water and how to swim. Even I'll jump in the water and show you how to swim. But guess what? One day you have to say, I'm jumping in the water. Some Christian people have never stepped out of the boat. At least Peter got out of the boat. Amen. He made some mistakes, and you'll make mistakes too, but you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to start doing the Word of God. You've got to start sharing your testimony with somebody, and you have to have one to share the testimony. You have to talk to people about the things of God. Yes, doing. He says in 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He says, if we don't do the things of God, it's a good indication maybe we're not even the children of God. Only the children of God can work for God. You know, going down the road and helping your neighbor is a wonderful thing, but that's not doing the work of God. That ought to be natural to do things like that as a Christian, but you're doing the work of God when you get a tract in your hand or your Bible in your hand, you confront your neighbor with the fact, are you saved and are you sure you're going to? You say, well, my neighbors will run me off. They may do it. Jesus said, go to the next house and the next house and the next house. Isaiah 43:12 says, I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. This is the only witness that God has in the world. Everybody's looking for that big flash in the sky, the sign in the sky. And God is looking for Christians who will put their feet on the floor and out the door and down the street and tell their neighbors and their families and their friends about Jesus Christ. No wonder he said, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. They maneuver through this world, telling a lost world about Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Guess what? The wisest thing that you will ever do. And back to the other things. If you read, and if you study, and if you listen to preaching, it will encourage you to want to be a witness for Christ. And the wisdom that you'll get from the Word of God is to tell people about their eternal destiny. Heaven or hell. One place or the other. Where will you be? In eternity, somewhere. To spend eternity. People in hell don't come back. They don't die. They don't get extinguished. And it's over. They stay there for eternity. And heaven is the eternal bliss. In conclusion, we all have to make time and place to do all three of these. And everybody has a 24-hour day. Everybody has a 7-day week. People say to me, I don't have time to go to church. If you don't have time to go to church, you're way, way too busy. You're way too busy. If you don't have time to read and pray and study your Bible, you're way too busy. Doing something, you know, the three people that came to the witness that Jesus sent out. They said, come to the house tonight. We've got to fill the house up. They're going to have a service. And the one said, oh, well, he said, you know, I bought a piece of ground. I got to go look at my ground. Part of the problem is we have too much stuff. We have too much stuff. Oh, I got to take my ATV and my four-wheeler and go out with my kids. And, you know, we haven't been together in a long time. I got to do that. You're too busy. You got too much stuff. Our ancestors didn't have an automobile. They didn't have a horse. They walked and took their kids to church and lined up in the pew and sat for hours and listened to the Word of God. And they forged out a country, one nation under God. And we got a nation that's slipping into the pits of hell because we got too much stuff and too much time spent on things that are not of God. Friends, and we heard it from this pulpit this past week, that keep you from doing what God wants you to do are not friends. We need to be consistent. That means doing it all the time. Doing it all the time. Doing it all the time. That's consistency. We have to consistently see the Word of God. We have to consistently read the Word of God. We have to consistently let the Word of God be preached to us. We call this in the education world scope and sequence. That means how long you do it and how often in that do you do it. The scope and sequence of it. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Take and bracket that phrase in your Bible. Let a man deny himself. We don't deny ourselves of anything today. If it feels good, we do it. Whatever we see, we want, we get. If we don't have the money, we charge it to our plastic and then wonder why we can't pay our bills. We just want anything and everything we see. If somebody else has got it, we got to have two. He says, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. Where did Jesus go? How did Jesus do it? For a long time, we used to have bracelets and scarves and bandanas and things, and they said, what would Jesus do? We need to ask ourselves that question. What some people say, well, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites. What would Jesus do? In the first place, the church is not full of hypocrites. We still got room for a few more, right? Amen? Come on, show up. You know what I'm saying? We find any excuse. One guy said to me, the roof will fall in. Well, it did start to crack back there, but I think that's my fault. That's where I've been standing. Maybe I'm the one that caused it to crack back there. But the roof has not caved in, has it? So it's not going to fall in because some sinner walks in. This is the place where sinners need to come. This altar is where sinners need to be. We all need to be down here praying. We all need to be confessing. Me first. I get here every time somebody's preaching. Get down and say, God, cleanse me, purify me, and show me. You've got to be willing to want to be a Christian. And we can either take the revival and the fire of it, move on, and be more and better, or we can sit and say, oh, that was so good. Let's relax. We worked real hard. You know, let's just take a time. Pastor Hodge, you got more things going on than I got time for. Listen, let me tell you something. You're going to stand before God, and so am I. And God's going to say, did you provide opportunity? I'm providing you an opportunity. And this altar is your opportunity this morning. First of all, if you're not saved, and those kids spelled it out, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death and hell. But God interceded in that Romans 8:5. He interceded. God commendeth His love toward us that He died for us. And He says, whosoever will believe with his heart and confess with his mouth shall be saved. And that's the simple plan of salvation. And it's for you. Would you stand to your feet, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed, in a moment the piano will start playing. But if you need the Lord Jesus Christ, or you need some more answer, or you need something else, this altar's open. Everybody's not got their head bowed. No one is looking. If you want to come, the altar is open. We're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to make you stand up and recite anything. We're asking you to come. Give whatever it is you've got a problem with to God at this altar. Just come right now while we wait. While God waits, while God says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God's waiting on you. God says, here am I, with His arms outstretched on that cross. I did it all for you. You say, well, I'm a different person. I know. God knows all the differences He made us each like in our own right. He knows everything about you. Knows every drop of blood flowing through your vein. He knows the date and time of your birth. He knows the date and time of your death. And one day you will meet God. The Bible says, prepare to meet the Lord. While we wait just a moment, and while we're waiting, perhaps you feel a little intimidated by that invitation, but you'd say, as a non-Christian, I want to be saved, and I want to pray that prayer, show me again. Or you want to say, I got some family and friends, and I want to be a witness to them. And it's difficult, Pastor, and I know that is. So you'd say, pray that I can be that. And the prayer you need to pray, if you're not saved, is, dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I confess that I'm a sinner. But I don't want to die and spend eternity in hell. And right now I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you prayed that prayer as I prayed it with you, or something similar to that, would you raise your hand and say, right now I ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm asking Him to come into my heart. Anyone in the house, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God sees your hands. God knows your heart. Now, if you're having trouble with the testimony and studying the Bible and reading the Bible and praying and letting the preaching sink in, the teaching sink into your heart, Say, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be a learning Christian so I can help others come to Christ. You'd raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be that kind of Christian. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, gotcha. $546, our hymn of invitation. We still extend the altar to you if you want to come. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mention the death in your family this morning. We're praying for you guys and the rest of the family at the passing. And also, Jim was here working when he got the message about his your uncle passing away. And he said, it doesn't change anything, Pastor Hodge. I'm going to be working here. Reminds me when Jesus was approached and said, you know, Lazarus is sick. He said, I'll get there when I get to it. But he did that. By the way, Jim's going to be preaching for us tonight. I think he's earned the opportunity to preach tonight, don't you? I mean, he has worked real hard this week behind the scenes, out on the vans, out on Saturday looking these kids up, getting them here, going back second trips and picking up kids he's missed. And in the short time he had them, really taught those kids a lot, I think. Amen? So we're looking forward to him preaching for us tonight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we go today, and thank you for being here. God bless you. Brother Bill, would you have a prayer, please?